Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation is the gospel reading for today from Luke chapter 13. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, last summer, Daniel and I planted this tree in our backyard. And when I say Daniel and I planted the tree, I mean Daniel dug the hole and put the tree in and filled in the hole, and I took the picture, right? It's a snowdrift crabapple tree. And the plan is, the hope is, that someday it will look like that. But now, almost a year later, I'm thinking that it's not going to make it. We have watered it and we have fertilized it, but it's not looking good. The bark is starting to come off, and there's a crack in the trunk, and the buds are looking very brittle this spring. I'm thinking it's probably a goner. This is what it looks like now. So I'm thinking, in line with the owner of the vineyard in today's parable, I'm thinking, cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? Not only that, we're selling the house, and why should we let the buyer believe that there's a nice crabapple tree in the backyard when in fact the thing is probably dead? So I went and got my saw. But I didn't cut it down. Not yet, anyway. I thought, let's wait and see. We'll water it and we'll fertilize it one more time. Maybe it will pull through. Who knows? There's still hope. Not much hope, but there's still hope. All of which reminds me of the vine dresser of Jesus' parable here in Luke chapter 13. Jesus tells a story about a tree which was not healthy. It was not bearing fruit. For 3 years it had not borne any fruit. And there was little reason that the next year it would do any better. But the vine dresser, the caretaker, wasn't ready to give up. One more year, he said. One more chance. And that's the end of the parable. We're never told what happened with the tree. Did the owner of the vineyard give permission to let the tree go on for another year? Or if so, did the tree improve or did it get the axe? Jesus doesn't say. Which is often how parables work. They leave you hanging. They don't give you a nice, neat ending, which forces you to wonder and think and reflect. And in the process of that reflection, the Holy Spirit has opportunity to work through the Word and bring you to a deeper understanding of God's will and God's plan and God's method. So, we reflect on this parable. And as we do so, we think about two things. First, we think about the fruitfulness of the Christian life. The fruitfulness of your Christian life. Those who have faith in Jesus as their Savior will naturally bring forth the fruit of faith. Fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. There's a list for you in Galatians chapter 5. And this theme of fruitful faith is one that we run across several times in the gospel according to Luke. In Luke 3, John the Baptist is teaching and preaching to the crowd, and he says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. In Luke 6, Jesus says, a tree is known by its fruit. An apple tree produces apples, a pear tree produces pears, and a Christian will naturally produce the fruit of repentance and faith. In Luke 8, the parable of the sower, the seed of the word that lands in the good soil produces much fruit, produces an abundant crop. God looks for fruitfulness among His people, the fruit of repentance and faith in Jesus and the works which proceed from that faith. True repentance, in other words, is more than just a temporary feeling of sorrow and guilt. It is also faith in God's promises, and faith then leads to a fruitful life of love toward others. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because He first loved us." In other words, being loved by God means that we then bear the fruit of love toward others. Here's how our Lutheran confessions explain it as far as the role of faith and works. It says, after a person has been justified by faith, there then exists a true living faith working through love. Galatians 5. That means good works always follow justifying faith and are certainly found with it when it is a true and living faith. For faith is never alone, but is always accompanied by love and hope. You could put it another way, and you could say we are saved through faith alone, but genuine faith is never alone. It is always accompanied by the fruit of good works. So this parable is a warning in one respect for Christians whose works of love are lacking. This parable puts them on notice, as the tree in my backyard is on notice right now, that if we don't see some change here, we're going to assume that without fruit, faith is dead. And it's time for the tree to go. So that's one point of this parable, the fruitfulness of the Christian life. But this parable is also, it is also about hope. It's also about hope. In the parable, the vine dresser wants the tree to live. He won't give up on it. I want my crabapple tree to live. I'm not giving up on it. I want it to live and to thrive, so I'll continue to reach out with care and fertilizer and water. There may be life in it yet, and where there is life, there is hope. In the same way, despite your lack of fruitfulness, Jesus hasn't given up on you. Jesus tends and nurtures. He calls you to repentance and faith. In fact, He goes to the extreme of putting Himself between you and the judgment that you deserve. Jesus suffered and died for you, for your sins, that is, for your lack of fruit. He did the same thing for me. He stood in my place, receiving my punishment for my sins, so that I would be set free, and you too. In Jesus, we are declared holy and right before God. In Jesus, we are blessed with mercy and forgiveness. In Jesus, our sins are taken away and we are justified. We are made right with God by faith in Jesus as our Savior. And Jesus not only saves us, He also gives us His Holy Spirit, who is constantly at work in our hearts to enable us and to empower us to bear much fruit, to bear much fruit, to do all kinds of good works by which we love God and love our neighbor. Now remember, these good works, they don't save you. Jesus' death and resurrection are what saves you. These good works are simply what faith naturally does, the fruit that faith naturally produces by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what good works are we talking about? What are these good works that God is looking for? We must be talking about major stuff here, like a servant event trip to Siberia, or standing on a street corner in the big city and telling passersby about Jesus, whether they want to hear it or not. Good works have to be extraordinary like that, right? Something spectacular. Well, they can be. They can be, but they don't have to be. And most of the time, good works look pretty ordinary. One of the things that Martin Luther emphasized was that anything a Christian does that serves God or serves his neighbor is a good work. When you love your spouse, you are bearing the fruit of faith. When you serve faithfully as an employee or a business owner, and you provide a service to the community, you're bearing the fruit of faith. When you parent your children, when you take care of your parents, when you look out for your neighbor across the street, you're bearing the fruit of faith. When you come to church and repent of your sins and rejoice to hear again the good news of Christ's death and resurrection for you, you're bearing the fruit of faith. Let me say this again. As Christians, we do these things not in order to be saved. We're not trying to earn rightness with God. We already have rightness with God as a free gift by faith in Jesus. We do these things because we have been saved. We do these things gladly and freely in thanksgiving to God who has delivered us from our sins and given us new and eternal life. So that in the joy and the strength that Christ gives me, I live my life for Him. And it is my joy and calling from Christ to forgive others as I have been forgiven, and to love others as I have been loved, and to serve others as I have been served. In all of this, I am bearing the fruit of repentance and forgiveness that Jesus desires for us. So those are the two points. The point that we are called to bear fruit, and the point that we are blessed with this faith which produces fruit in multiple ways of good works toward our neighbor. But let me say one more thing here. Where in your life might there be a tree that looks like this to you? A relationship, perhaps. A friend, a relative, where everything is just dried up. And some sin was committed a while ago, and now you're not speaking, and you refuse to talk to each other, and you don't know if you can forgive this person, and you're just thinking, it's time to cut it down. It's time to cut it off. A lot of that going on these days. That seems to be the go-to solution for a lot of relationship problems in the world today. Just walk away. Just cut it off. Just quit. Maybe we should remember, though, this vine dresser and his plea to the owner of the vineyard. Give it one more chance. Keep trying. Maybe it'll come back. Inasmuch as God our Father has forgiven us, let's turn around and learn how to forgive each other. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.